All right, great to be back with you. We welcome in Bruce Jenkins of The Chronicle. Bruce, how are you? I say The Chronicle even though you're semi-retired from there, but you still write once a week.
Yeah, I'm still in there. Still got a voice. But, yeah, doing fine. Thanks.
Yeah, good. You know, we had Jean Fruth on earlier today. You know, Jean.
She's terrific.
Isn't she?
And oh, my
It made me think about baseball, Bruce, in a way of telling the story of baseball, the way you do it in your columns, the way we do it on the air. John Miller, the books about baseball that you and I have loved over the years. What is it about baseball that lends itself to these stories and the beauty of it? What is it?
Well, it's hard to describe, and sometimes you don't need any words, and that's why I love Jean Fruth. Her books, her first book about grassroots baseball, where she was extremely well-traveled. She's showing kids in the Dominican Republic, and you'll see a shot with some kids playing, the looks in their eye, that, you know, whether it's the background, you know, the fact that they might be playing on a terrible-looking field, but they're all looking like they're having a great time, or, you know, something among veteran players that she just captures a moment, and it'll trigger something in your mind that who knows how far it did go back when you first started watching the game or just something from last season. But it's a game of moments. It's a game where you have time to think about things and really form opinions about things. And you feel like, you know, you feel like you're kind of, you're not on even ground with the managers and the coaching staff, but you can follow along what they're doing. I mean, you wouldn't really have any chance to try to, you know, duplicate the Green Bay Packers game plan for Dallas at home. You sort of watch it unfold. But, you know, when the Giants play the Dodgers, you've got a lineup in your head that you'd like to see out there. Maybe it doesn't happen. Maybe, you know, Gabe Clapper was probably right. But those are just some of the things I love about the game.
Yeah, there's just something about telling the story. And it's interesting because, look, baseball is a business and kind of a semi-public business. As a community, we take a real interest in it, and our community spends money to support it as well. But there's something about baseball that just we feel responsible to it. I think that maybe that's the issue.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if they feel responsible to you know, Rob Manfred or Tony Clark, but they feel it's a much deeper investment. Mm-hmm. And you know, you can pick up most sports in a very raw fashion. You know, kids playing soccer, you know, can just get a rock and something they is pretending to be a goal, you know, and then go from there. But you know, there's famous stories about the stickball, kids playing stickball in Brooklyn and in, you know, New York, Willie Mays coming out to join them. They just got like a stick, and who knows what kind of ball they're using. But in their minds, they're it's the bottom of the ninth, you know, and the Dodgers have a lead on the Giants, and we got to get a run here. There's a real wonderful simplicity to the game, and you know, just, you know, the act of playing catch with somebody, obviously the father and son thing, but playing catch with a friend where all you need is a couple of gloves and a ball. And I mean, I remember playing when there was just the two of us, you know, the hardball and hardball bat, and you know, the ball would travel God knows where, but we had fun chasing it. It wasn't such a big deal, you know. So I don't know, all these little things. It's a very deep investment, and it always cracks me up to think that, well, the younger fans aren't going to be following this game. You know, they might be turned off by some of the things that they see in the game, and they don't really want to read about the labor. But, you know, when they're 6, 7 years old, they might have been hooked just by their dad or their mom.
Boy, do you still have your old glove?
Oh, I don't have the first one. I've got the second one was a Rawlings Reggie Jackson model. The first one I think might have been a Nellie Fox.
Okay, mine was Ted Kluszewski.
Well, you know, that's a great one. Yeah, you had to roll up your sleeves before you put it on.
That's right, the claw. It was a.
Yeah, we had a terrible house fire, and it took all my baseball cards and a lot of stuff from my youth. I was no longer living in the house, but my parents' house burned down, and a lot of priceless things went up in smoke, along with my first glove. So, but that's all right. You rebound. You recover.
Boy, opening day is coming up quickly. You know, usually spring training, it's 5 or 6 weeks. And as Leonard Coppett said, it's always a week too long. This one may be a week too short. Opening day is right around the corner, April 8th. And I know the Giants, you know, make it special. I haven't missed many. Have you been to just about every opening day?
Well, an awful lot of them. I missed the last couple during the pandemic, but I mean, when I was covering the team, it was always a treat to, you know, that was an automatic. And before that, in L.A., I try to make the opening day. Sometimes it was tough. It was a school day, you know, they would be at a day game, not always able to make it, but pretty special. I do think I've always thought spring training is too long, and I think this one is too short, just from the standpoint we'd love seeing it come upon us so early, but you know there's going to be pitchers who don't start well and probably, you know, very accurately claim that their preparation was thrown off. You know, they rushed things a little bit, and heaven help them if they actually hurt their arm. But those things are going to come up. But I think on the overall, it's going to be okay.
This is a very confident ball club. I mentioned that earlier in the show, and sitting there yesterday with Gabe Kapler, listening to him talk, and Bruce, you'd think he was, you know, John McGraw. You know, he'd won 3,700 games, honestly. And I know they won 107, and he's manager of the year. But, boy, what a difference in a few years for him. They're a very confident ball club. They really are. They believe in their process. I'm convinced of it. And, you know, we kick around. They should, you know, you write columns. I talk about it. They should do this. They should do that. They have their process, and they're going to stick with it. They are very, very confident.
Yeah, you know, I like Gabe Kapler from the moment I met him, like on the Giants, you know, Fan Fest before his first season. I knew we weren't really on the same wavelength on a lot of things. You know, he's kind of an original thinker, and some of the things that he does, that, you know, it's hard to relate to. But I just really liked his presence, the look about him, and the sound, and the conviction that he had. And, you know, now, of course, he's got 107 wins behind him, so he has a lot more credibility, and everybody's listening to him. And he's undeniably a very interesting, you know, good guy. But they better be confident, because it's very possible that they fall a few games behind the Dodgers or the Padres or both early on. That could happen. They're going to have to, you know, rely on what got them through last year, and you know the system is still in place, and I'm sure they'll do that. But the confidence and the belief in the team in the wake of last year is maybe their biggest asset.
You ever worry about statistics down here, and on the other side, you know, we had our Randy Elliotts of the 70s, yeah, who, you know, hit 600 down here and then couldn't do anything. But the bats are kind of quiet right here, and there's not much to make of it. They've got another 10 games to play. But they haven't put the big boys in the game yet. You look at the number three hitter today, it's Duggar. The four hitter is Estrada. It's not Babe Ruth and Gehrig, you know what I mean? It's Mason McCovey. So
yeah.
do you worry at all about the offense at all?
Oh, hell no, not at all. I mean, everybody's working on their own program. You really have no idea what somebody's trying to do up there. Maybe a guy looks bad, but, you know, damn it, he's trying to hit the ball the other way. You know, he was frustrated by the shift, and he's really going to work on this. Maybe he doesn't have it down, and he's like 0 for 11. You know, but I just know I don't believe in any except for Randy Elliott, who hit like, you know, 590 or 890, I think. That'll open your eyes. And of course, he wound up to be a complete bust. But no numbers for me. But you know, I always take heart in the things that look great. Like a young second baseman makes a really difficult play, you know, up the middle and gets to his feet and throws a bullet and gets a guy, stuff like that. That'll open your eyes. You know, a really spectacular moment by somebody. Maybe you don't know anything about him, or just sort of, it just reinforces your love for a player like Brandon Crawford's latest great play, you know.
Yeah, Blandino is sort of an interesting player. I've gotten a couple of tweets about him this morning, Alex Blandino from Stanford.
Yeah.
Looks like he can play, and, you know, he'll probably be someone who's on the shuttle, I would imagine, this year. back and forth. I don't think he'll break with the team, but he's one who stood out. Auerbach is another one who's still in the lower levels of the minor leagues. He has stood out as well. Estrada has looked good, Bruce, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
And he's looked good ever since he came to the big leagues. He has not had a time where you say, well, that was a flash in the pan. You know, he can't hit. He hasn't done that at all.
Yeah, I think there's good reason to feel good about him. You know, he's got guys like Dubon and Duggar that there's no guarantee they make the team coming out of the gate. And we'll see. You know, he's probably going to get some time. He can play anywhere. He's going to probably play some second base. You don't know about La Stella, but I think he's going to get a good shot right off the bat. And for everybody, you know, you can overemphasize the value of a quick start, but I really think the Giants need to come out in the kind of form that they want. You know, whatever the standings tell them, that's one thing, but they need to be fun. Last year, they were so much fun. By a couple months in, the fans are going, God, this team is just so much fun to watch. And next thing you know, they rarely lost a game. That's not going to happen this year. But when they play the way they can and strategize their way through a game the way they can, fans are going to know that that's a familiar thing and it works. And maybe we'll see some more of it.
Yeah, I said on the show this morning, you know, we got to reorient ourselves to baseball again, not only spring training, which has always been the bonding experience of the flow of the game, the few hours of the game, the nine innings of the game, not seven, you know, that sort of stuff to get used to baseball again. But for all of us, it's 162, and the marathon is going to happen. And as I've said earlier, 14-10, 10-14 to start, no problem. If you go 3-21, you got trouble. If you go 30-5 or 35-5, like the Tigers in '84, you're in.
But you never anything, look back.
Anything short of that, it's a long, 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 long season. And as fans, we've got to get that back in our mind that you can't jump off the bridge after 1 week or 2 weeks or a couple of bad games. We've got to get back to that mindset again.
Yeah, it's really a terrific thing. It's kind of amazing that they wound up with 162 the way things were looking. Like maybe they don't even start playing until May or who knows, even later than that. And all of a sudden they've got, you know, a decent-looking schedule. I think some of the players will feel there are too many doubleheaders, and maybe a lot of people will feel that way, the media or the fans, who knows. But they're fitting it in. I think people can warm to doubleheaders. They're pretty fun. But the thing is that, like you say, you really don't know. The Dodgers could start off looking unbeatable, but you know, look what happened to them last year. I know Bill Plaschke in the LA Times, great columnist, wrote that before last season that this was going to be the greatest team ever.
Remember that?
I think that's what they're saying in LA again this year. Dave Roberts just flat out said we're going to win the World Series on the Dan Patrick Show. Not we'd like to. We are going to. But, you know, the Dodgers had a big slide last year, and you know what? The Giants always play the Dodgers tough. Almost invariably, you look at the season series, and there's a bunch of great games, and nobody's killing the other team. So that's always going to be, if the Giants fall behind the Dodgers a bit, but here comes the Dodgers series, there's always a chance the Giants sweep that series or win 3 out of 4 or whatever, and everything, the whole mindset changes.
You know, it's funny about baseball and the quotes of baseball. And we think back to Bill Terry in 1934. He was the manager of the Giants. They were a great team with the Cardinals, great pennant race and all that, Carl Hubbell. And they asked Bill Terry in spring training, what about the Dodgers? And he said, are they still in the league? And then it came to the last series of the year, and the Dodgers knocked the Giants out. They knocked them out. And that quote is forever. So here's Dave Roberts saying we're going to win the World Series. I remember Ken Maka, when he managed the A's, said to me, Lou Wolf came up to him and said, Ken, I'll see you at the parade. And for the whole season, Maka had that on his mind. And, of course, they got to the ALCS and the Tigers wiped them out.
Yeah, it turned out it was the Pumpkin Festival parade down here in Half Moon Bay.
Really? I love baseball quotes. I do. And you very rarely get someone who gets out and says, we're going to do something. You don't get that often.
No, you really don't. And that's so funny. That Bilateri quote, that's almost 100 years old.
But it'll never be forgotten.
It lives on, and there is a little bit of wit to it as opposed to we're going to win. I mean, but Dave Roberts, that comment's going to be with him. Whether they are kicking everybody's butt or whether they're really struggling, that he'll have people are going to keep coming back to that.
Yeah, if they don't win the World Series, you know, Dave, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, we're blaming you.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is everyone else is very quiet. Nobody likes to say we make predictions. We'll do that next weekend.
Okay.
You know, I love when you used to do that column, Bruce, when you did all the scouting reports.
And that was fun. Yeah,
fabulous, just fabulous. Joe Posnanski, you know him, member from Kansas City.
Oh yeah, wonderful writer, especially on baseball.
Yeah, he's got something in I want to say Substack or one of those. Forums that you could look up, but he's recreating the Bill Mazeroski preview book, which came out in the 80s, which if you were a baseball fan in the 80s, you bought this book, and they went through every team. He's recreating that on the Substack thing.
Huh. Yeah, he's a real bright guy. He comes up with some original ways to look at the game, and he makes historical comparisons that stir up a lot of great arguments. And he's at it again. I am not subscribing to that, and I know that I should. So I'm going to get on that before the season starts.
I'm going to do it. He got me interested in this. I saw that he wrote something yesterday. He's recreating this. I used to buy it every year. And that's where I learned, you know, the teams. And, of course, now with the Internet, you have everything instantaneously anyway. But, I'm looking forward to that. Hey, the Cleveland Guardians were in town yesterday, and I looked out at the field and I said, who? Who are they?
Yeah.
I saw Paul Hoynes, of course, the fabulous writer, you know, covers Cleveland. And, you know, he says when he writes his stories, he must put down Indians five times before he corrects it.
Yeah, well, Gar, you know, it's a tradition dating back to Tuesday. It's quite a thing. It takes an awful lot to get used to it. I don't find it terribly offensive, and if you're from Cleveland, you understand what it means. But and the thing is that when you talk about the past Indians teams, not that they have a lot of historically great ones, but it's going to be hard to call those teams the Guardians because they weren't that. I'm with you. I mean, I'll be calling them Indians for probably too long before I catch on.
They could have come up with a better nickname than the Guard. What are Guardians? They're two lions in front of a bridge. In Cleveland. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a bridge. What are they guarding against? The Kansas City? Or
really? You know, the
Yankees.
The invasion from Toledo? You know. so whatever. But I saw them yesterday. How about, as we wrap it up with Bruce here, the payrolls. Did you see the payrolls of the three lowest teams in baseball? I think it was like the Orioles, Pittsburgh, and maybe Cleveland. Maybe they were in there. $30 million, $34 million. Max Scherzer makes more than the whole team.
And yeah, you got to put the A's in there too. They can't be too far from the bottom. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But another great thing about baseball, as much as a long shot as it might be, first of all, one of those teams could beat Scherzer. You know, in his new setting. And what's that salary worth? He just lost to the worst team in the league. It could easily happen. Or even one of those teams even finishes ahead of the Mets. It's of course it's unlikely, but stuff like this has happened. And knowing that, you know that it's not completely impossible, that money doesn't buy everything, and that the game sort of, you know, overrides everything.
I love it. Hey, great talking with you, Bruce. Have a great afternoon. We'll talk tomorrow.
Terrific. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up. Maria Guardado will join Bill and I and get a little bit of a report on some of the things we've talked about today. She covers the Giants for MLB.com. More coming up. KMBR 680, 104.5 FM, the sports leader.